You guys got, there we go. Hey, I'm Daryl. As Dave said, Abby and Zach go to school together all the way up. We met in fourth grade at Hillview Elementary. I think we had both, we were not in fourth grade. Our kids were in fourth grade. We had known of each other, but had never met before. And we were at this relay for recess relay. I'm looking at Stacy because she used to teach there. And it's this crazy all-day event where all the kids participate in crazy games, and it's all to raise money for cancer, and parents volunteer, and I was there, and Dave was there, and we ended up running the same game together, and that was the day that we met, and we've just kind of connected and grown in our friendship since then. Here's my family over here. I'm not going to introduce them all because there's too many. Keenan is our oldest son, and so we're super thankful that you guys have embraced him, and it's always a pleasure and an honor for me to be in co-ministry with Keenan, and those are our cuties right there. And so with that, kind of let's jump into this morning's message. I'm going to talk about you have to give in order to grow, right? You have to give in order to grow. I'm a big foodie. Like, I love to eat. I love to cook. But I have some pretty specific rules when it comes to meals. Like, where am I can eat breakfast any time of the day, people. Like, breakfast for breakfast, breakfast for lunch, breakfast for dinner. Yeah, put your hands down. I'm not one of them, right? I am a breakfast for breakfast guy. After 10 a.m., it's no longer breakfast time. It's just not for me. Now, I do have two exceptions to that rule. Number one is bacon, right? That's pretty self-explanatory. Bacon, I'm a guy, right? I can eat bacon any time of the day. And then the other is breakfast bread, right? And you know what I mean by that, like banana bread, nut bread, blueberry bread, Amish friendship bread, right? I can eat that sort of stuff any time of the day. You know, the thing about Amish friendship bread, though, is you have to give it away, right? That's the purpose of Amish friendship bread. You have to give it away. And when you give it away, what happens? Ladies, come on. What happens when you give it away? It grows, right? It produces more Amish friendship bread. And we're going to talk about giving to grow today. But before we do, let's talk about friendship, right? How's your social media looking these days? How's your friend list? More importantly, how's your Christian social media looking these days? I'll tell you what mine looks like. And this is from my Christian friends, right? People we go to church with or know that go to different churches. Pro-life, pro-choice. Affirming, non-affirming. Maybe accepting, right? Black lives matter, blue lives matter, all lives matter. Open borders, closed borders, mask, no mask, vax, anti-vax. Trump's a jerk, Biden's incompetent. God hates this, God loves that. And if that's not enough, college football is coming really soon. Right? And we know what happens then. While preparing for the message, I read an op-ed in the USA Today, and its title is, Let's Stop Fighting Each Other and Start Serving Our Neighbors in Need. It was written by Chris Pawlowski, posted June 29, 2021. I have to say those things for Facebook Live. Speaking of Facebook Live, Pastor Dave, thanks for having me. Okay, let's continue. In the article, it says that the Gallup poll reports, and the Gallup poll, if you're not familiar with who that is, it's a Christian-based survey organization. Gallup poll says American church membership is less than 50% for the first time in 80 years. That was in 2021 that that poll was done. Less than half of Americans go to church for the first time in 80 years. 2020, Barna Group found that the sharing, like Christians who claim that they practice Christianity, has dropped in half since 2000. So practicing Christians has dropped in half since 2000. 2017, Lifeway Research survey says 66% of American Christians between 18 and 23 leave the church for at least 1 year. So you've been raised in the church. You're a professing Christian. You're between 18 and 23. You leave the church for at least a year. Here's the reason why. Other people in the church are divisive, they're judgmental, and they're hypocritical, right? So you're in the age of discovery, right? College-age kid, and you leave the church 66% because people in the church are divisive, they're judgmental, and they're hypocritical. Andy Stanley, a pastor and best-selling author, says one of the top five reasons that people leave the church today is because church members place a higher priority on defending viewpoints instead of people. You defend viewpoints instead of people. The church is in crisis mode, and we need to pay attention. But what does any of this have to do with Amish bread and giving to grow? If you have your Bibles with you or you have the YouVersion app, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in 11 through 16 this morning. Excuse me. I've also been sick. But Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16 is where we're going to be. And anytime I preach, I like to look at two things, ask two questions. Those two questions are this: what did God do in the passage and why? And what are we supposed to do and why as a result of the passage? And I would encourage you to do the same. When you're listening to Pastor Dave or Pastor Reggie, when you're studying the word yourself, ask yourself those two questions. What did God do and why? And then what am I supposed to do and why? So let's jump in. We'll be in 11 through 14 first. This is Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 14. I read the ESV version. It says this: and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds — some versions use the word pastor there — and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge and of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. So the question here is, what does God do in this passage and why? And the answer is, God gave so that we might grow. God gave so that we might grow. The passage identifies what he gave, and that is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And you find that in verse 11, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We call that the fivefold ministry, right? Think about Pastor Dave. He's assistant pastor at Marne. Marne's like, okay, you can go. It's time to go be a plant pastor. You guys are here because of that, because they gave a pastor. And it's my understanding that you are already aware that Pastor Dave is giving Pastor Reggie. Like, he's going to multiply. He's giving a pastor. This is what God does. He gives so that we can grow. And the passage of Scripture explains why he does it. Continue to read in what we just read. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body, so that we might mature, so that we might walk in the unity of faith, so that we measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? That sounds an awful lot like growth to me, right? I was broken. I was short of the image of God. I come into a relationship with God. I get plugged into a church with pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets, and they pour into me and they sow into me, and as a result, I grow, right? I grow. As a result, I mature. Look, I have kids that are of all ages. Our youngest is 13. Our oldest is Keenan, and he's 20-something. He will be 29 July 27th. I looked at his wife for the confirmation, not his mom. July 27th, Keenan will be 29. That is a pretty wide range, right? That's a pretty wide range. Well, at 29, if Keenan acted like his 13-year-old brother, we would say that he was immature, would we not? Right? That's immature. It's the same way as Christians, folks. When we walk with the Lord, we are to mature. And when we don't, we are immature. God gives so that we can grow. And so I have a question for you today. And I'm a little interactive because nobody wants to hear me talk for 30 minutes. By the way, when I asked Pastor Dave how long I had to speak, he said, well, Pastor Reggie usually speaks about 15 minutes. I'm somewhere in the 30-minute mark. Take as long as you like. My background, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. That's dangerous to say to a Pentecostal pastor, right? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I do like to be interactive. So what are some of the signs of a mature Christian? If you're like on the street and you're talking to somebody that doesn't know the Lord and like, hey, what does a mature Christian look like? What would that be? A mature Christian is judging. No, that's an immature Christian. What does mature Christianity look like? Mature Christianity, right, is this, what we're striving for. It is the goal. It's what we're to press towards. What about you look like Christ, right? And what did Christ look like? He was loving. He was compassionate. Yes, he would call you on the carpet when it was appropriate. But when you study the scriptures, the people that he called on the carpet were the church. Yeah. Right? It was the church that he called on the carpet. Hey, church, start looking like the church. You are the body of Christ. Reflect Christ. That's what a mature Christian looks like. Here's the rest of the why. It's not just about pursuing mature Christianity, about the list that I just read. It's also about the don'ts. It's about what we should not do. Look at the rest of that passage, right? He says, don't be like children tossed to and fro by the waves. Don't be like children carried about by every wind of doctrine. Don't be like children subject to human cunningness. Don't be like children subject to crafty, deceitful schemes. Right? This is just as important, church. The things listed in the don't be children any longer look an awful lot like some of our social media pages, do they not? Remember the list a moment ago, right? Pro-Trump, pro-Biden, pro-life, pro-choice, and on and on and on. We can go through the list. Our non-Christian friends see that. The church is arguing against the church, and it does nothing to grow the church. And I'm not saying don't have an opinion. You're free to have whatever political view you want. You're free to have whatever view you want on whatever issue. But the mark of a mature Christian is you handle your business appropriately. And we're going to get that in just a little while. We're to be loving. Remember those statistics. Attendance is down under 50% for the first time in 80 years. Church, that means we're doing something wrong. That means we are missing the mark. I have two kids, almost three, that are in that 18 to 23-year-old range. They leave the church because of the people in the church. That means we're doing something wrong. So when we, as adults, say there's something wrong with the youth in America today, they're not passionate about the church anymore. They're not passionate about their growth in Christ and their relationship with Jesus anymore. There's something wrong with the youth. No, church, there's something wrong with the church. 66% leave because of the way they are treated by the church. I'm about two-thirds of the way through my Master's of Divinity. I'm currently taking homiletics. If you don't know what homiletics is, it's a course of how to preach. Yes, Pastor Dave invited somebody to preach who's literally in a course learning how to preach. I'll let you guys talk to him about that. No, seriously, I'm in my master's. I do have my undergrad in church ministries, already taken homiletics. But this is something that has been reflected not just through our lecture, but also through all the textbooks that we've read. One of the most important aspects of a preacher is not the message that he delivers on Sunday, it's the life he lives on Monday. Does what he talks about Sunday, is what he talks about Sunday reflective in his life on Monday. And I think we can all agree with that statement. But my question is that true of you as well? Is that true of the church as well? Is it just as important that you reflect what you claim on Sunday in your life on Monday? And my answer is yes. Yes, according to these statistics, the answer is yes. So we know, according to Scripture, that God gives so that the church can grow, right? That's question number one. What did God do in the passage and why? What God did in the passage is he gave pastors. Why? So that the church will grow. Then the second question, remember, is, well, then what are we supposed to do and why? We'll pick up reading in verse 15. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we, talking about us, the church, we're now in the us part, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him, Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so the answer to that question of what are we supposed to do and why, the answer is we are also supposed to give so that others may grow. We're supposed to give so others may grow. We are supposed to speak the truth in love. So remember a moment ago, I said, like, hey, it's okay to have opinions, but you have to be careful how you talk about them, right? You're supposed to speak the truth in love. And I can tell you, I don't see a lot of love on social media. I see a lot of fighting on social media. I see a lot of the church versus the church on social media, which doesn't just drive the church out of the church. It keeps the unchurched from coming to church. We're supposed to grow in Christ. And when the whole body is working properly, which can also be explained like as giving, right? When you are giving back to the body of Christ, the body grows and it builds itself up in love. When I was prepping for the message this morning, I looked up the recipe for our Amish friendship bread, right? I'm going to read this to you. And first I have to say, I'm not a baker. I love to cook. I love to grill. I'm not a baker. Do you know why? You have to measure things. And you have to be precise in your measurements or it does not come out well. And so that is why I do not bake. But here's what the directions are for Amish friendship bread. And this is the starter kit. Before starting, write the daily directions on a Ziploc bag. Do not use metal containers or metal utensils because the bread is acidic and it could dissolve your metal. Well, I'm thinking, like, if this is so acidic it could dissolve my metal bowl, why am I putting it into my belly, right? That does not compute with me. So use glass or ceramic. It's normal for the batter to rise, bubble, and ferment. If the bag has air in it, simply let the air out and seal it again. Store the starter at room temperature. Do not refrigerate. Then here we go. Day one, do nothing. Day two, mash the bag. Day three, mash the bag. Day four, what do you think day four is? Mash the bag. Day five, mash the bag. Day six, no, you're wrong. Day six is add 1 cup of flour, 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of milk, and then mash the bag. Right. Day seven, mash the bag. Days eight and nine, mash the bag. Day 10, now here's where it gets really interesting. Day 10, pour the starter into, a non-metal bowl because it will dissolve the metal bowl. Add 1/2 cup of flour, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of milk. Mix well, then measure out 4 to 5 separate starters of 1 cup each into other Ziploc gallon bags. Keep 1 bag for yourself, give 3 or 4 to friends, along with a copy of this recipe. If you can't pass the recipe on to a friend on the 10th day, follow the directions above. Day 10 is equal to day 1, and let your friends know they also must pass it on when they are done. Listen, there is not a chance that I am following a 10-day recipe. Not a chance. I, like your pastor, enjoy grilling. I enjoy smoking meats. I will do a 20-hour brisket. I won't sleep during the entire smoke. I'll have taken 2 to 3 days to prep for that smoke. I am not following a 10-day recipe to make a loaf of bread. But we can learn something from Amish Friendship Bread, and it's this. You have to give for it to grow. You have to give it time. Apparently, you have to give it a mash or 10, right? You have to give it more ingredients, and then you have to give it away, right? You give it away, and as you give it away, it continues to grow, and it continues to multiply, and when you do these things, it just keeps growing. But just like me in the 10-day recipe, some of us are this way in our Christian walk. We're not going to do the things that it takes to mature in our relationship with Christ, yet we want the blessings of a mature relationship with Christ, right? If I'm unwilling to follow the 10-day recipe, which, again, let me be very clear, I am unwilling to follow a 10-day recipe, then I'm not going to have Amish Friendship Bread. If I'm unwilling to do the things that it takes to mature in my relationship with Christ, then I'm not going to have the blessings of a mature relationship with Christ. Genesis tells us the story of creation and reproduction, and it tells us that each reproduced after its own kind. Church, the reason that this is so important to get right, this concept of maturing in Christ, this idea of giving so that others can grow, it's not just about your growth. It is about the person at the table next to you. We talked about this city. The name of this church is Engage Newark because you want Newark to engage in a relationship with Christ. And honestly, this is one of the first times in my church experience in this community that I've seen so many churches work together. Pastor Dave talked about it. Like, we have a great relationship between Life Change and Engage. Pastor Cord and Pastor Dave, they support each other. They give to each other. They meet with each other. Because it's not about Engage and it's not about Life Change. It's about the body of Christ. It's about Newark, Ohio and Heath, Ohio and Granville, Ohio and Licking Valley coming to know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. But if the church does not reflect Christ, then that will not happen. The reason this is so critical is because just like Genesis says, they reproduce after their own kind. An unhealthy Christian reproduces an unhealthy Christian. An unhealthy church reproduces an unhealthy church. But when we are mature in Christ, we reproduce mature Christians. We reproduce mature churches. That's the reason that Pastor Dave is giving Pastor Reggie away. It's so that the body of Christ can grow. That's the reason we're leaving. Pastor Dave said in the video, future church planter, my wife and I are moving to Clearwater, Florida in a year. And in 2024, we plan to plant. Corbin's accident that Dave talked about was kind of the catalyst for my life going in a completely different direction. Right? They're giving us away. Oh, it's easier. Excuse me. Pastor Corbin said to me, like, dude, I don't want you to go. Selfishly, I want you to stay. But for the purpose of the body, you got to go. For the kingdom, you have to go. Pastor Reggie, for the sake of the kingdom, you got to go. Right? You got to go. It's emotional. It hurts. We don't like separation. But for the sake of the kingdom, you have to be willing to give so that the body of Christ can grow. Now, not everybody is called into one of those fivefold ministries that I mentioned at the start, the things that God gave us, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and something else that I don't remember at this moment, right? Not everybody's called to do that, but everybody is called to give. And so my question for you today is, what are you willing to give away so that the body of Christ can grow? What are you willing to give so the body of Christ can grow? Now, some of you think, maybe I don't have anything to give. I want to encourage you that you do have something to give. And so as the worship team makes their way back up, I want to challenge you this morning. What are you doing with the talent that God has given you? Right? These guys all have gifts that God blessed them with. And it's easy to see them up here on Sunday mornings thinking like, oh, look at the worship team. They're giving back so that the body of Christ can grow. What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with your gifts? Do you know that it takes a lot of people to make a Sunday morning church service run? Are you volunteering at your local church? Are you serving the body of Christ by finding where you can get plugged in here at Engage? Are you calling this your church, but you don't serve? That's something you can give, church. Life Change, we talk about our serve teams every single Sunday. Hey, if you're not on a serve team, get on one, because we need you. And the reason we need you is because of this concept. You have to give so that the body of Christ can grow. What about the things that God has blessed you with? Do you give them so that the body of Christ can grow? I would encourage you to do so. And then what about the other things? What about the things that detract from the body of Christ from growing? I would encourage you to give those away too, but don't give them to people, give them to the trash can, right? Get rid of the things in your life that prevent you from growing in Christ. Get rid of the things in your life that prevent the body of Christ from growing. Get rid of them, because the purpose of being a Christian is not just our own walk with Christ, but we have the responsibility of growing the body of Christ. And the way that we do that is through giving. And so I'm going to do that now. I'm just going to give this away. And it cannot be somebody from my family. You, babe, you may not have this bag. And so who likes Amish friendship bread? Nobody likes Amish friendship bread. I find that unbelievable. All right. Like I said, get rid of your trash. Get rid of your trash. If nobody wants it, give it away. Throw it out. Because there are things in your life that do not cause the body of Christ to grow. And they don't cause you to grow. So get rid of them. And instead, follow the model of God and give to grow. Give so that you will grow, and give so that the body of Christ will grow. I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pray over you, and then the worship team will invite you to close out service with us. So let's go ahead and stand and we'll pray, and then we'll worship together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for this model of giving to grow. And really, it started with Christ. You gave Christ to us so that we could grow in redemption and be saved and called a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And I pray for the one here this morning who maybe has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let today be the day that they give their life to you so that they can grow in a relationship with you. And then, God, I pray for those of us who already walk with you. I pray that you show us areas in our life, Lord, both the good and the bad, the stuff we need to get rid of, to give to the trash can because it stops us from growing. And then, God, show us the places that we can give to the body so that the body can grow. God, I pray that you show us collectively as the Big C Church of Licking County how to give back to our county this week so that the body grows. I pray a blessing over the people of Engage this morning, God. Bless them. Bless Pastor Dave. Bless Pastor Reggie as he's getting ready to endeavor on this idea of giving to grow, Lord. Be with them and lead them, I pray. We love you. It's in your name. Amen. Let's worship.